corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got you.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because he's done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. This is our Monday morning tight end show. I'm Marcus Dash here, legendary Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn, and my brother Tasia Dash for our second Chief Concerns mock draft Monday. Sorry for coming on late, guys. We had for those of you who followed, we had a show earlier on Bleacher Report that premiered on our show, on our channel a little while ago, about a couple hours ago. So we're just getting stuff ready for you guys for this mock draft Monday. So apologies for coming on here about 15 minutes late, but how is everyone doing tonight? How are you guys doing?
What's up? What's up, man?
We're good. Been a
long day. I was telling you a little bit before, and my eyes were getting a little heavy. It's just, had me a nice little some dinner. Somebody was talking about dinner. I had me a nice little dinner, and I think my belly got a little full. You know, when your belly, you get the itis, you start sitting down, and you know, and you're good and comfortable. Mm-hmm. It was almost a wrap. I was gonna have you and Tasia go ahead and take this whole thing out for the day. But saying hi to the people out there, what's going on? Chief Concerns folks, family, how you do? All the other, we got the same folks, man. That's our people. That's our folks. People.
Mm-hmm. Our dedicated followers.
Oh, yeah.
Ghost Hunter right there. Oh, yeah. Marcus has finished up dart practice. You know what, Ghost Hunter? It's looking pretty good so far this year. For those of you, he's talking about our flag football, my flag football highlights I posted on Twitter earlier. So, Ghost Hunter, I appreciate you, buddy. Yeah. So, So earlier we had a show, if you guys didn't check it out, we put it on, it was midday. So you guys go check it out. It's on our channel now. JD and Tasia went over their six total draft crushes for this upcoming draft. We also talked about our celebrity crushes too. So definitely go check that out to see who, each of us have as our celebrity crush. All three, we all went three different directions here on that one. And also six different directions with our draft crushes. So really good stuff. You guys definitely need to check that out tonight. I don't know if you guys have any overlap with your draft crushes and your mock drafts tonight. Any overlap, guys?
No overlap. I try to make this one a little bit different than what I did my first time. And then, of course, what I wanted for my my draft crushes. Word. There it is. That's my nephew right there. What's going on?
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah. Yes, sir. So, but I ended up finding some jewels I think we could use in what we do in our scheme. But it is going to be a little bit different, though. But it's going to be a whole different direction than I went last week, for sure.
I like it. Tasia, I'll
have, from our show today, I'll have, I think, one guy.
Okay. Over. Yeah, I think I remember who that is, yeah. The old lineman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so, you know, last week was a bit of a long episode for the mock draft Monday, so we're going to be more concise with our mock draft tonight, so everyone can go watch the WNBA draft or whatever else is on tonight. I know the Royals are playing well right now, so if any of you guys are Royals fans, you can watch Royals beat up on the Chicago White Sox after the show. So let's begin with our mock draft 2.0, fellas. Let's do it, baby.
Sounds good.
All right, JD. you are on the clock with your mock draft 2.0 pick.
Okay, so we know what we covet right now in this draft, right? What our concerns are. And we said wide receiver obviously needed to get a guy here. Now with Rashid Rice being out for an indefinite period of time, we have no idea. Wide receiver, talk about tackle. We're not quite sure. You know, what we're going to look at a left tackle. We got Wanya Morris. I like Wanya, but the Chiefs may not. They may not feel comfortable with it. Then I thought D-line is another thing we need to address. So I decided to go with this mock draft, go to the O-line edition is what I wanted to do, okay? And so one of my guys that I was looking at, and start watching some film on him, watch his feet, watch his hands. He does a good job, very athletic. He's someone that, you know, we talked about this earlier, at least in our show we were talking about. Guys may be changing from tackle to guard. I don't know if it's the case. He's right there in that, you know, when you talk about measurables, length of arms, right? Length of arm. Look, if a guy could get it done, he's athletic enough to get the job done. I think he needs to stay at tackle, unless you don't have somebody there at guard to play that. But I like, for my pick, number first round, is Jordan Morgan, okay, from Arizona. Jordan Morgan, all right? When I watched him in his highlights, he did a great job just mirroring defensive ends, okay? He has excellent feet. He doesn't seem like he gets unbalanced all the time. You know, he's got good hips. He sinks it down. I think one of his big concerns might be his strength. They keep talking about that. But strength is something you can work on. I believe if you get the right guy, start working on bench presses inside. If this is what you do, this is your job, your profession, start working on your strength, okay? That's not going to do anything with your hips. It's not going to do anything with your legs. Get your upper body right, and you'll be fine. This guy right here, man, is a first-round pick to me. The Chiefs will do well to have a guy like this. And I think they like a guy. So when people are talking about athletic ability as far as tackles, he's right up there with everybody else. So I like his size. But like I said, the only thing I think is a concern is his arms, right? The length of his arms. And he was saying, well, maybe he doesn't get his arms on guys. And it looks like they get into his chest because he can't lock out on guys, right? I'm thinking about this. And when I coach offensive tackles, and I learned this from really one of my O-line coaches, my tight ends coach, Juan Castillo, who was a tight ends coach with me in Philadelphia, went down and became an O-line coach in Philly. And then he went to with Harbaugh in Baltimore. So I went to his office and we were just kind of talking. And he was like, JD, I'm going to give y'all a secret right now, okay? It was the coach's secret. He said, what I've done with my tackles, he said, I've just told him, take the guessing game out, okay, about when to punch a guy. All right. So if any of y'all coaches or whatnot, here's a great tidbit for you. And it makes a whole lot of sense. He says, make sure when you sit over and you set up, take your three steps and just punch. Just throw your hands. Because immediately the defensive end, he reacts to it. Right. Because that's how it usually, when you see the punch come out, hands come down, they start doing the work. Tom Ali, you know, that's what ends up happening. But the thing is, you don't have to guesswork. You already got your hands out there. But you can retract them anytime you want to. But just 1, 2, 3 punch anyway. And so what it does is you just get into like the form, the rhythm of it, where now your hands are already out there. You don't have to worry about somebody getting into your body, right? He's got to get through you and get through your hands. Well, while he's thinking about that, he's doing all his little moves, trying to be a ninja and all those different things to get through. Already no waste of time. So it just made sense. So I'm sitting there like thinking like we were talking about before, having a wonderful offensive line coach could teach him what he needs to do to not get guys in front of him. So that's when my first round pick, Jordan Morgan.
Tej, any thoughts on Jordan Morgan before we move on to your pick?
No, he pretty much hit it on the head. I mean, his biggest, he got his strengths, weaknesses I've read and seen that are just strength, really. He's fast, can mirror guys. People question if he could play tackle, if he's more of a natural guard because, but guard, you need to be strong. So I don't, it's not like, oh, put him at guard, he could hide there and not be strong. Like, that doesn't make any sense either. So, yeah, he sounds more like a tackle to me. He just sounds like he needs to get a little stronger.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't think his arms measured that long either, though, right?
No, that was a problem. But his arm length was like right there. It's right there where you want the what you want a tackle to be, and so
it's not strength. It's not like long. It's not long. Yeah. You can kind of tell
long arms, right?
It'll look out. That's pretty much it, though. But I mean, yeah. Again, if we need a tackle, and that's the guy they think they can just coach up to be our left tackle, I made my opinion known already with our left tackle position, where I think we could go with that, and I wouldn't mind that pick at all.
Yeah. As long as the position's right. I mean, it seems like you want to tackle with the first pick or one of the first picks. So
yeah. Yeah.
As long as the position's there, I think at the end of the day, you'll be happy with it.
But I did not go that way with this one though.
Uh-oh.
I went a different way. I kind of swapped what I've been doing in the first two rounds and did the opposite. This was kind of my, if we stayed here pick. So I know earlier we talked about like trading back a little bit, getting another receiver because receiver's so deep. If we stayed here and took a receiver, I went with I'm just waiting for that. Yeah, cue me in. I went A.D. Mitchell. So he's got so much in his bag. Head fakes, shoulder shrugs, natural feel. He says it's such a natural feel to route running. He makes it look really easy. Couple negatives I read about and heard about. Don't love the catch point physicality, and the ball skills are a little questionable. It looks like he's kind of fighting at it, is what I read. It doesn't look like it comes easy when he hauls it. Even actually, it's funny. Even in that picture right there, it looks like he's kind of like reeling. Yeah. That looked like a lot of effort on that. It looks like he's catching a friggin' punt right there. I've heard poor man CeeDee Lamb. I've heard T. Higgins comp. I've heard George Pickens comp. Not bad, not three bad guys to be compared to at all. I would take any one of those to be here. And what he kind of does is too, why I went him with what we're dealing with Rashee Rice, and it's kind of uncertain at this point. I took a guy that could play kind of alongside him, but also kind of fill in for the Rice role. For now, he's a bigger guy. He can play that. And then when Rice does come back from whatever suspension he will be getting, it's a guy who can also be on the other side of it. It can be a complimentary player, right? Although one of the knocks I read on him from one of the websites said can be a little, I think, disengaged when he's not the number one option on his team.
Yeah.
Which is, you're not going to be that here, dude. You might not be top three options on this team your first year. So better get engaged. Better learn how to get rid of that. So that is not – I didn't love reading that. It's kind of weird. Maybe that's something he'll just shake off when he becomes a pro. I mean, coming to the Chiefs, you get humbled real fast. You're not going to be the top option here. Last year maybe would have been one of them, but this year not so much. Not a ton of yak, but I was listening to the PFF guys. They were saying that's – they attribute that to more his – he's had the highest depth of targets they've tracked in the last 10 years. So that they said that's maybe why we just didn't see it as much, because his depth of target was so deep. So he just didn't have to show it that often because he was catching balls so deep. And he does not draw passes was the other thing I read too. So big, fast, great body control. That's why I chose him with the number 32.
Yeah, in the few Texas games I watched this year, because I don't really watch a lot of Texas games, I did notice that that the commentators would actually talk about him just kind of like look like he was like giving up out there when he wasn't getting the ball, not running his routes fully, not giving 100% out there, maybe the disengagement. Yeah,
casual.
Yeah, so I did see that a few times when watching Texas games. That did stand out to me for sure. But I mean, yeah, sure-handed and, you know, and the comps that you had, I mean, all those guys are, I'd be fine with any of those guys if he gives us a little bit of T. Higgins or a little bit of George Pickens.
Yeah.
Yeah. JD, thoughts on A.D. Mitchell?
I tell you what, man, I like this film. He's got a ton of ability. Did a great job at Georgia. Went to Texas. I think he did really well. And almost saying that, when you was talking about being disengaged, that makes me wonder why he left Georgia. right? I think we had this conversation maybe a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week. We were like, is it something where if you're not the guy, then all of a sudden you pout and you go somewhere else, right? True. This is character now, okay? And I'm telling you, this could be consistent character. I don't know if y'all remember me telling you about Al Saunders saying the guy couldn't play for us when I was telling that story.
Yeah.
One of the things, the reason Al Saunders said the guy couldn't play for us is because he didn't give his effort on every single play. And that's why. As talented as he was, could catch anything, he said, this guy cannot play for me because of the effort he will not give on every single play. He takes plays off. I cannot have a guy like that here. That type of attitude. He's got a ton of ability. Like I said before, he can catch the ball, one of his great routes. He can catch the football too. I mean, he does a great job, man, catching the football. But those things will show up at certain times in the game that you don't want to see. You got to work that out of a guy. Hey, man, listen, we go full speed every play, every rep. Nobody's wasted. I don't care who you are. You're not the guy up here anymore. You got to learn, Rook. You don't want to earn your way. You're not at Texas anymore. You're not at Georgia. You're in the NFL. We pay you for what you do, okay? And we pay you big bucks.
Two Super Bowl champs.
Absolutely, right.
Two-time.
Right. Two-time. So get with it. So I like him, though.
Time to be humbled, right?
Say it again?
Time to be humbled.
Yeah, immediately. Look, guys come in the NFL with all your bad habits that you brought from college. That's what ends up happening. And you got to make that transition quick. And you almost got to learn. And this is, you know, this kind of goes to maybe, you know, hate to say, maybe Rashee Rice. You hanging with your boys, having a good time, all these different things. And then something like this happens, right? Because you may take bad habits, whatever it may be. I don't know. So, but I do like him. I do like him. I think he's a talented guy, man. I wouldn't be mad if we take him first round. I think it'd be a good pick, really. So
apparently, just looking at why he left, the report of the reason why he left was to return to Texas due to family reasons. He wanted to be closer to home.
Okay. Homesick a little bit, but okay.
Yeah. That was the apparent reason, so.
Yeah. No, shoot. I get it. I've seen it all the time. As a coach in college, hey, coach, I'm just not I need to go home. I need to be closer to home. All right, well, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm sick. That's a real deal.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, JD, you're on the clock for your second-round pick.
Second pick, real easy for me. So this guy happened to be there, and I'm just like, let me swoop him up on this draft. Done deal, easy pick. Second pick in the draft, what he does is Keon Coleman, right? Keon Coleman. Look, this guy can do everything. Just athletic ability out the wazoo. Can go up there and get the football. Very gifted athlete. Catch passes through any of them, right? He make contested catches. I like everything about this guy. The only thing that gave me pause with him was the amount of catches that he had, okay? I'm still looking for guys that I want to see 70, 80 catches, you know, a year. You know, you're Florida State, man. I'm thinking you ought to be, if you're that dude, you should see 70, 80 balls, right? Is it you? Is it the system you're running? Or is the quarterback the guy that's throwing your rock, okay? And if he's throwing some in the dirt or up into the band, then that's the difference. But I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. I just know the balls that came to you, you was able to perform the way that you're supposed to perform. So me, Keon Coe, I think everybody knows this guy. Ton of ability, big dude. I like him. I like his physical attributes, all about it. So that's my pick for a second round.
I love his pick. The cool thing about him is he went to you guys know I used to work in Lansing. In Michigan State territory, where Keon Coleman transferred from Michigan State to Florida State. Cool thing about him was he was a guard also on the Michigan State basketball team. If anyone knows Tom Izzo, he recruits top flight guards. And yeah, Keon Coleman was a Michigan State guard as well, on top of playing on the football team too. So, I mean, that's the athleticism for sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tish, your thoughts on Keon Coleman?
I think I've said this a few times. We've talked about the gauntlet. Is it gauntlet was impressive as hell. Didn't break his speed at all. Tested slower on the 40 than most people expected, though. Just throughout his college career, had a little more trouble separating from DBs. The trick was, I read, to make him go east-west. DBs could stick with him if he went east-west. But trouble separating in the college, might be more trouble separating in the pros. But contested catches, really big guy, can make some, you know, over the top, you know, jump out of the roof, catch the ball, come down with it type grabs. Impressive. Especially.
He actually graded out higher in the PFF in 2022 than he did in 2023. And at 50 catches, 87 yards, 2022, 58 catches, 88 of the targets, 13.2, 13.8. So he's not a yet guy.
Which is surprising considering how big he is.
Yeah. But then, like you were just talking about, like his separation, if he's not really getting that type of separation, he's kind of a long strider. He had all those different things. Can you get a guy to work on it? Sure. Absolutely. He could definitely get better at that. But I would be pleased to get a guy like this of his caliber in the second round, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. Especially being without Rice for a little while. Another guy who can fill into that role really nicely.
Oh, yeah. Andre Brown says, what do you guys think about keeping eyes on players from the UFL? I was thinking about he hate me, Rod Smart, and had to ask. Hey, listen, that league has opened up a lot of possibilities. It really has. And I think the NFL needed to do something like that, where you don't have the NFL Europe anymore. Guys are playing, and now you do get to see some talent out there that they can fill roster spots with. So, no doubt about it. They got a whole scouting department that's checking those guys out. Believe me.
And also, you've seen guys who are in the NFL who've gone there to try to, you know, advance themselves in their careers.
Sure.
Josh Gordon, he was with Seattle last year. Mm-hmm. He left Kansas City, went to Seattle. Seattle Dragons, I believe. And then Corey Coleman also ended up going to XFL as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's still in the XFL. But, you know, it's helping guys, you know, who don't want to give up the dream, who can go from the NFL back to XFL or UFL. And make a buck for playing the sport that, you know, they're still elite at. They may not be the NFL elite, but still elite at this game, you know. So,
yeah.
But Keon Coleman, I would love this. As far as mocks and all that stuff, what the experts have him at, is this realistic to get him at end of second round? Is that realistic?
Probably not. You guys seen? This is like, you know, we're hoping.
Yeah.
Probably not. You know what? Receiver's so stacked. Who knows? If people are worried about his separation that much and his 40 time, I mean, people freak out about 40 times. So maybe he drops. I mean, there are guys like this all the time. Like, no one expected Pickens to drop that much, right? So, I mean, it does happen, especially with the receivers. There are a few guys that might drop a lot. Him and the guy that's left. Another guy that might just drop a lot, but his are character concerns. But,
yeah,
you never know. Mitchell, with that kind of scouting report, teams don't want that, man. Teams don't want a guy that they have to question already. Are you going to be engaged? They don't want that. We're going to hand this guy a large fat check and then want him to be engaged? Who knows?
And it's very important what system that you are actually putting these guys in. Are you going to utilize everything from him and get out of him what you think you're going to get out of him? Like you said, man, it's a big investment. And some guys, hey, we might like him and he jumps off the charts and he could be a, you know, a combine guy. Right, but teams are like, we can't use him. We got guys like him. We got guys on the bench like him. Yeah. So, no, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, I was looking at Keon Coleman. So Keon Coleman left Michigan State. Obviously, we with the transfer portal nowadays, everyone's, you know, going from team to team, and you just like to see why they left. There's, you know, based on what I read, is it was a part of his scheme all along that he was going to leave the South for 2 years, go up to Michigan State, kind of learn the ways, learn the tricks of the trade, and then transfer back down closer to home for his final year to quote, expletive up is what it said. So,
yeah.
That's why he left Michigan State. So no funny business there. All right. So now we're going to go to Tasia's second round pick here.
Okay, another guy, kind of like Coleman, who I don't think will probably be there, but I was doing a lot of these mocks. He was there a lot. So, you know, that's why I was like, all right, well, he's there a lot. I'm going to choose him. Excuse me if I butcher his name a bit. Try to do, look it up. Ruke or Ro-Ro-Ro. And he said it was like Ro-Ro-Ro your boat. So, hey, that's an easy way to remember it, man. Yeah. Player comp, Matabike. Also not a bad guy to have be comp to. 6'3", 6'4", about 300 pounds. Can play D-end, can play D-tackle. They say can play all around and multi-schemes and a lot of different techniques along the front four. Pound for pound, call one of the stronger DLs. Solid run defender, slightly shorter arms, but he's someone you could start next to CJ. He could terrorize single coverage, put him at D end when we need fresh bodies out there ready to rush. I think he can be someone, especially I went a lot of versatility. I wanted to go for versatility for my draft. So he's someone you could put in a lot of different fronts and just teach. I mean, they say he's just really raw in pass rush. He relies mostly on his brute strength and quick feet and strong hands. But they say once you give him more of a repertoire, a pass rushing repertoire, he could just be a impactful starter on your team for years to come.
Yeah. I watched this guy, and that's the thing about it, because he has the versatility, like you said, inside and out. All the time, man, we look at the guys in that orange from Clemson, man. You know they're going to be ballers. That's what I look at. You know, they're always going to get guys that can play football. But he shows flashes of it. You know, like you said, very strong. I like him. Does he – no, it wouldn't be that. I was going to say, does he still give you some of that, the same of like a Warrington, right, of that? Are you getting a little bit more of the same is kind of, you know, my thought, right? We looking, you know, playing D tackle, defensive end, certain number of guys can do it and do it well, right? Then you could be in that boat where you're trying to do both and you're not really good at either one of them, okay? But you're a solid guy. But I mean, he's a hulking figure. You can see,
yeah,
that sucker right there, man. He looked like he'll run through a brick wall. But I see some of his highlights, man. He looks good. I think it's a good pick. I think it's a really good pick.
He's huge. Man. Yeah. When he said, yeah, he's enormous.
He's a man. He's a D lineman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think JD and I are in agreement as far if we're getting a D lineman in the first three rounds, a D tackle. I mean, I think that just, I don't even care who it is. As long as it's a premier D tackle, one of these guys we've mentioned, I love that. Cause that means, you know, they're honing in on this, giving Christian some help. And that's something that JD and I've been talking about for like 3 or 4 years now.
Plus I've gotten away from guys that can like, I got away from the guys who can eat up double teams in their scouting report because we don't need that. We all know who's going to be double teamed on our D line. And it's certainly not going to be a rookie who's coming in. It's Chris Jones, time in, time out. So I want a guy – I've been looking at guys who just dominate single coverage. You dominate one guy in front of you, that's pretty much all you need on our team because you're going to get it every time now.
Yeah, yeah.
And looking at it, it looks Ruke is from Lagos, Nigeria.
He's Nigerian.
Emigrated when he was 8 years old to the United States. I mean, if we were to get a guy like this, Nadi is Nigerian as well. He was born in Virginia Beach, but he's in Nigerian descent. And he's very, very proud of his heritage and stuff. So that I'm sure he speaks. Now, I don't know if he speaks it, the language, but that's a great guy right there to have as like a kind of like a, someone from your country in the same position as well. That's pretty sweet. That'd be pretty cool. And I don't know if we still have Kehinde Ogini, the guy from the pathway program from 2022. I don't know if he's still on the team anymore, but.
Oh no! See, he could be one of those like the, you know, the UFL. He could be one of those guys probably in there. You know, maybe throwing him in and say, "Hey, man, get some work over here. See how you do." So that's what I would do. Sure. Get him somewhere and like, hey, let's see what you actually do. Don't sit on your tail, you know, and think you'd have made a roster. Let's see you play.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it says here he is currently a free agent, Kahinde. Okay. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, A plus if we were to get this guy. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he'll be a guy with that kind of upside and versatility. I don't think we'll be there at our pick at two, but. You know, I can only go by what I'm given on the many mocks I've done. He's there a fair amount.
And I will say, we are looking at D-tackle. The report today that Tavondre Sweat is looking at he's visiting with us, which I think is interesting because of all the stuff that's going on with Rasheed right now, bringing a guy who had some trouble last week. I think it's interesting that we are meeting with him anyway. So
maybe it means we don't care about that. So bring on Jermaine Burton then, back in my second round mock.
I would love Tavondre Sweat. That would be amazing. That would happen. I mean,
he's falling too.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. That's probably why they brought him in. Like, oh, yeah, you might fall on our lap.
Sure. On our board.
Yeah.
Everyone took him off. We're putting him on. Slap it on there.
He's gonna be okay. Yeah, we.
Yeah, go ahead. We can maybe do this now.
Yeah.
On the Pro Football Talk tweet, because Florio reported that the Chiefs would be meeting with him. A bunch of the comments on there. Of course the Chiefs are meeting with him. Yeah, of course they don't care about that stuff.
Hey, you know.
All right, JD, you're on the clock with your third round pick, buddy.
So my third round pick, kind of the same. I said the things we need to attack is tackle, wide receiver, and interior D-line, right? This guy, he's fast, he's quick, has a very, very bag of moves. He does a great job. His thing is he's a little light in the tail playing in D-line, but he's very effective. He uses his quickness to his ability. He just absolutely destroys people and makes it look like he makes it look easy. And so with the third pick for me is Michael Hall Jr. from Ohio State. All right, Michael Hall Jr. And when you look inside, when he goes against, you know, offensive linemen, interior guys, he does look a little bit smaller, a little tinier. You know, it doesn't look like he got the big shoulders, but the Joker could play, man. He's got some unbelievable quickness and speed. And so if you have a guy like this, bring him in for pass rush or whatnot with Chris Jones, they're going to be a terror, right? The only weakness is going to be, yeah, if he gets caught, hands on, run the ball to him, double team, push him back, combination blocks is the one that's going to be his kryptonite, right? Because he's going to be 280, 286, somewhere around there. And so if he continues to keep his, let's say he goes up about 290. He's 290, keeps that quickness because he has unbelievable get off and speed. That he's going to be a starter. He's going to be in the rotation, taking reps immediately. So, I love it. Donald Conner, when Aaron Donald considered undersized, yeah, Aaron Donald was a different animal altogether. That sucker worked out since he was 5 years old. His dad would get him up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and have like two lifts, two workouts during the day. He was like a stud. So, yeah, he was, though, but he was undersized. He was. But everybody I know got in front of him, feared him. They was like, oh, shaking in their boots with Aaron Donald. So, hopefully this guy turns into that if we get him, right? So,
and those, yeah. And those shoulders of Donald's were not undersized at all. Those things were enormous, man.
Yeah.
The size of my head, man. Mm-hmm. Cap shoulders. If you want some cap shoulders, go look at that. Go look at his workouts.
Yeah, he looked like a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald. So,
hey, tell you what, he retired now. He can maybe go into that if he wants to.
Yeah.
I don't
think there's a lot of money in that, but if he is a dedicated bodybuilder, I mean,
yeah, I don't think he needs to do that anymore. I think it's time to go sailing for a while.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. TJ, any thoughts on this pick here? I know you went same position last round, so
yeah, not a whole lot. I mean, he was someone who was going like the second round at one point in a lot of mocks. I see him more in the third now, probably due to he's being a little undersized. Some teams will have to shy away from that because they're just schematically not ready to take someone like that on and have him succeed there. But he lists. I mean, it's kind of like a poor man's version of Ruke, kind of, you know, just small, a little smaller than him, but just very versatile. You could play DN and D tackle, just a little undersized and not as strong. Just going to have problems against, you know, bigger O linemen. But again, he's not getting doubled, so we don't have to worry about that.
Right. If he one on one, he'll win.
Yep.
He's got the quickness for a big lineman that gets the hands on him. So that's what I love about it. Definitely one on one count. He'll get it. He'll win that battle.
I'm just excited about either having last two guys you picked between Ruke and Hall here. I think right away both these guys have more juice than, and obviously we're Pinnell fans. We think Pinnell's huge and he's a big dude, but like right away these two guys have more juice than the other guys on the DT rotation besides Chris Jones. And I'd be excited right away, JD, to get them out there right next to Jones right away because we just haven't had a guy next to him. And I think both these guys would check off a lot of the boxes for us of what we wanted for right next to Jones.
Yeah. And that's jumping out of your cleats. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about speed on film, jumping out of your cleats that guys just can't block you, like you said, one-on-one. It's just difficult. I don't care who it is. So he's a guy that can do that. Yeah.
All right. Tasia, you're on the clock for your third round pick, man.
So with my third pick, I am going listed at safety. Kalen Bullock out of USC. So a lot like the former Chiefs DB, Sneed, many scouts see him as a cornerback. He's a tad light for his height. He's about 6'2", 6'3", 190. So they're just worried about him putting up with the day-in, day-out bruising of what a safety puts up with. Incredibly versatile, though. Elite range. They say he plays real high on the real well in the single high, cover three, cover one, can play man-to-man, has cornerback hips, watches and tracks QBIs really well, great in the slot, can press receivers at the line, just not very strong. Again, 6'3", 190, it's small. And it can struggle against the run because he's just not as big and imposing. But I like it. Again, versatility. I don't think we need to draft a cornerback to have a cornerback. So, you know, it's someone I think we can just throw in as another big guy to lock on guys at the line. He doesn't need to guard him forever. With our D-line being ferocious, like we said, you don't need to guard guys forever. You just need to stop them, slow them down, and be a nuisance for a little while, you know?
JD, thoughts on this pick?
I love rangy safeties. And so when you have the body type to do those things, I mean, that's a win-win situation, especially if you have ball skills, right? Like you said, the question is, do you come up and have that bring something with you? Do you bring something with you when you come and tackle? That's the question, right? If he has it about him, he don't mind sticking his nose in and bloody some noses and chins up, I'm good with it. But this catch right here, man, you can tell the guy has athletic ability. But I do like what you said about like having that body type, play either position. Just the versatility alone, man, gives him value. So that's good. I don't know too much about him, so I never really watched him. I'm gonna check him out, Tasia, see what he's all about.
Yeah. And again, like, he's not strong. He's not big. I mean, he's tall, but he's not like big.
Yeah.
But I just want him to be willing. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, Sneed didn't always make the tackle, but that dude stuck his nose in there where it didn't belong a lot of times, no matter what. I love that about him. Connor does the same thing, man. Connor gets his nose right in there, goes right under the guy's legs and hits it. So as long as you're willing, then, you know, that's workable.
Yeah, the one thing I do know watching a lot of USC games, last year he had a lot of interceptions, 2022, not 2023. 2 years ago he had a lot of interceptions. But as far as, like, the tackling aspect, I know the secondary in USC was, like, allergic to tackling. That's why they got steamrolled by the more physical teams. They would get dominated because once these guys got the second or third level, USC's DBs want no part of any kind of like running back or any kind of physical receiver. So I don't know. I don't know what the experts said on his tackling ability, Tej.
I mean, yeah, the negatives are his size, and yeah, run support.
Yeah.
Just very slender, just tough to be reliable in the run support when you're, you know, that small, man. It's like a, like, you know, Devontae Smith being your safety, dude.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Look at his measurables, because Jalen Watson, before he went to Washington State, he went to USC first. That was where he first went, and then he left after his freshman year. Or no, I think he decommitted. He never actually ended up going to USC, I believe, but he was recruited by them. He had a scholarship to go play there. I don't think he ever got in because of his grades. I forget what the reason was. But anyway, obviously USC likes those type of defenders. Jalen Watson, 6'2", 190. This guy, 6'3", 190. So very long and lengthy type of defender. And, you know, we went to the Jalen Watson, who also was at USC, this guy coming from USC. So, I mean, we do like those long defenders, I guess. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Love the player club of Snead too. Anytime you have Snead in there, you track my eyes for sure.
Oh yeah. And you best believe those guys are looking for the next Snead. Yes. Our front office for sure.
But he's another guy. Again, I ended up getting him in the third round a fair amount, but he, you know, it's hit or miss. He wasn't always there. So if someone likes that versatility and they're looking for Snead, no way in hell he gets to us in 95. But, you know, again, it's hard to say that right now. He's 97th on the PFF big board. So right at our pick, right?
JD, you'd be okay with DB in the first three rounds like this? You'd be okay if they went and got somebody?
I mean, sure. I mean, he's got to be a guy, you know, a real guy.
Yeah.
But if you have, I would rather our needs be met as opposed to trying to go get a guy and saying like, hey, you know what? Let's go on and get a best player up. To me, I'm like, not necessarily. If we good at position, there's no need to keep stacking somewhere we don't need to. Like if you're deficient somewhere, go get what you need. And so tackle, wide receiver, interior defensive line. It's my needs I'm thinking about on the team.
Yeah, right? I hear you on that.
Yeah. So
if we had Reed locked up for three more years, I probably wouldn't even say go DB at all. But, you know, his contract's coming up soon too, and it's worth a lot. So,
yeah.
But, again, this guy might end up being a cornerback in the end. Just DB. I just think I went like, you know, I wanted a D lineman. I wanted an O lineman. I want a DB. I want a guy just to be able to easy scheme him up and put him out there. The more versatile you are, the quicker you'll get on the field, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, look at Nazi. Nazi was a seventh round safety and going into last year's training camp before he got hurt. He was starting at nickel. So, like, yeah, I mean, JD always says, like, you know, it's like you have to make yourself. You have to make them make you take them off the field. You have to make them take you off the field. And, if you can do a lot of things, you're going to stay on the field as long as possible.
A cliche, there's a place for you on this football field.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
JD knows all about that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. All right, JD, we got fourth round pick, baby. 131.
Fourth round pick. You kind of look at this guy, and they were talking about him, and I kept – bypassing this dude. It's kept bypassing him because all the names was coming up. Want to see what everybody else was, what they gave. And what I do is, I look at, that's why I look at Steve Smith. Steve Smith, I check his stuff out, what he says about it, because, he's a receiver. What do you think? I'm going to trust what he says. Okay, maybe it's as opposed to some of these guys out here as scouts, right? And so you play the game, you know what you're talking about. And so he was giving high praise to this. He had a guy on the show, and I started looking at him. I'm like, dude, this guy right here is a baller. He's a baller. Now, he's a little undersized, right? But we've had undersized guys here before, okay? Tyreek Hill, guys like that, that can do some things with the football in his hands. And he can give you something with the return game. You could put him in different positions. For what we do offensively, he fits well. He fits well. He's, to me, that's why I wanted Tank Dell here last year. I was screaming for him. Tank Dell, go get him, please. Go get Tank Dell, right? blows up down there in Houston. This guy right here, man, is I think he's got a lot of ability to him. This is Malik Washington from Virginia. Okay, Malik Washington from Virginia. 5'8 and a half, 191 pounds, 30-inch arms, 9 1/4 hands, 42.5 vertical, 10.6 broad jump. Running 4.47, 40-yard dash, but 1.53 10-yard split. Bench press 19. That's at 5'8. Suckers, he's muscle. He's muscle. I'm telling you, you could put this. He looked like Tyreek Hill, like the body type.
Yeah, right there for sure.
Yeah. So this guy right here, man, he could play some football. He really can. And Steve Smith loved because he has the will and want to, like you said, Tayshia. You have the will and the want to get things. Yes, he don't shy away from anything. No contact, gets around guys, catches the ball real well. I think they talked about he might be one of the steals of the draft. This is the guy. This is like names. When I'm talking about steals of draft, his name keeps showing up. Okay. And I started paying attention. Past couple of days, I'm like, okay, this dude, I like him. So here you go, man.
Malik Washington. What do you think about Malik Washington?
So I was listening to the PFF guys. They did their rankings for the top, I think, 15 guys. He didn't make it in there, but they also did like they were doing like 3-hour shows. They're like, let's just talk about our notables, the guys we want to mention. Right. He was one of the guys they made a point to mention after they did their top 15, the guys they like. Because okay. One of the guys said he ranked his top 26, and after that it was just whatever. But he's like, I have 26 guys I really like. He was one of them. They said classic slot, great with the option route. He can stack and get on slot fade, so he's not just a little gadgety guy. Catches well. 90% contested catch rate at such a small size was incredibly impressive. Jeez.
I didn't know.
So he gets it even though he's tiny, which will really help develop into like a real receiver, not just a little gadget player you just flip to, right? Leverage winner, great at yak, obviously. Great mid-round pick, they said. You get him in the fourth or fifth round, you'll be ecstatic about that.
Yeah, yeah. This guy right here makes your roster. He'll stay. He'll stick and stay, and he'll get a lot of catches, a lot of balls thrown his way just because of his ability. You know, so I love it.
Yeah, and we talked earlier on our Draft Crush show about guys who actually produced and actually shown something other than just being showing something in March during the combine. Right. His numbers last year, I mean, the last 3 years, 44-578, 2 touchdowns, 65-694, 1 touchdown. And last year, 110 catches, 1,400 yards.
3 catches. Come on. That's production. That's somebody who's used to having the ball in his hands, right?
He was their offense.
Yeah. So get a ball to him. Let him go do his work. Let him cook.
Yeah, I think he sold me. You sold me your JD on the Malik Washington. I'm a fan. Yeah.
That's a lot of and for a 90% contested catch rate for a guy his size that probably got a million balls thrown his way, it's very impressive.
Yes, it is. Dang,
and we also have an affinity for guys sub 5'10", so there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get him in the fourth or fifth round, I mean, no need to re-sign Hardman again at that point, right?
Yeah, and it also puts in – it also makes it kind of more of a highlight on what they're going to do with Tony in the Sky Moore situation when you bring in another guy in that same kind of stature and that kind of – so.
Then you actually have a guy that can do those things, right? You don't have to try to, like, force Sky Moore to do something that he can't do or is maybe not as good as a guy like this can do, right?
Yep.
excuse me.
Bless you.
Bless you.
So. Thank you. Yeah, screens and things, DeMonte Green Bean, screens and things. Yeah, he screens and a whole lot of things. 111 catches, man. He could do it all. So that's a good thing.
Pretty good breaking tackles, too. I don't know what where he came up with that on his stats last year, but I'm seeing a little highlight reel here of him breaking tackles after tackle.
Yeah.
When you're that small and that strong, man, you're going to shake those arm tackles loose real quick.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you didn't tell me, like, just take the jersey off the uniform here, he looks like Tyreek Hill and Tariq Cohen here.
Yeah.
Like short.
Tyreek meets Darwin Thompson.
Yeah, Darwin Thompson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Gonna suck his calf muscles right there, man.
Yeah.
That's explosion right there. I can tell. Shoot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find him on the overall.
Those numbers, man.
Okay, yeah, there he goes. So he's the 128 prospect overall in PFF. But yeah.
Yeah. All aboard, JD. Another win right here. This is good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes, everything he tested well. Low drop rate, receiver grade 92, yards per route run 3, contested catch rate was high, grade versus man coverage was 90 grade. So, I mean, only dropped 3 passes last year. So, yeah, I mean, missed tackles forced, number 1, 35. Wow. Deep catch is still pretty good. Slot catches second. So I think, you know, what we know we're getting here. He's one of the slot guys in the draft to get.
Yeah.
Listen to this. He posted 100 plus yards in 10 of his last 11 games.
Damn.
Sure. Yeah.
He's had only 3 drops. He had 110 catches.
Yeah.
28 screen catches, 19th overall in screen yards. Yeah.
I mean, sounds like an Andy Reid guy, but just based on everything we're talking about right now. So, I mean, I would not be surprised, especially if we're talking 4th round pick right here. I mean, that's match made in heaven.
Yeah. Built for our offense. It's slants, you know, wide receiver screens, all of those different things, right?
Yeah.
Curls. Perfect.
He's got juice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we're going to go Tasia, your 4th round pick, buddy.
So we said, you know, I want a D lineman, I want a DB, and now here is my OL. We talked about him earlier. I had to bring it back up again because I just thought, you know, I just love some of those stats. DB out of K-State. Big, 6'4", 6'5", 335. Played a ton of snaps and everywhere. Let me repeat myself for some of these guys because you've heard this. But technically sound, a little stiffness, more of a straight runner, not as agile side to side, power player. But he played a whole season at left tackle. And over his career, he played over 700 snaps at left tackle, 1,600 snaps at left guard, about 20 at right guard, and 500 snaps at right tackle. And he played them all almost equally well. So he graded in run block and pass block around the same for all of them. Last year, he split snaps between right tackle and left guard in 3 straight games. He's played multiple positions in the same game. So moving positions didn't matter. He had no degradation of quality at all. One of the best pass protecting profiles from a guard standpoint in years that we've seen from a guard. I've seen him mocked anywhere from late third or late second to late third. Again, if we can get him by either moving up in the third or maybe cashing in that Tennessee third round pick for next season, I think a next year's third about equals a late third in this draft. So if you took the Tennessee third, and I think people are, you know, probably game playing on them not being great. So a Tennessee third and maybe like our second, fifth rounder and get like a mid third round pick, I would be really happy if it came out with Cooper Beebe. With Trey Smith's situation going to be muddy in the next year, we have a lot of guys to pay. We can't pay them all. If I had to pay 2 out of the 3 guys and bet on it, I'd say we end up paying Creed and Bolton and not paying Trey. Not saying I agree with it all. I'm just saying that's how I think it will happen. And this guy is a guy who could be our Allegretti for this season and then just be our full-time starter for the next 8 years after that.
Yeah. He checks all the boxes. When you tell me how many snaps he had to tackle and still graded the same across the board, high. I'm looking at like the honors. He was consensus offensive lineman of the year, Big 12. I mean, coaches, Big 12 first team. He's Outland Trophy watch list, Marty Award watch list, first team All American. He's got all the accolades to go with it. And all your reasoning that you were thinking about this, Tasia. Plus, he's from Kansas City.
Right.
It's a done deal. Shoot. Welcome home. Welcome home.
Hey, I know.
Welcome home, BB. So,
one last guy we have to introduce to the barbecue spots.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
You have to tell him where to go.
Yeah, he definitely knows where to go.
It's 335 for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
He'll be taking the rookies to the barbecue spots. Mm-hmm, exactly. He'll be the one introducing them to Kansas City. in our draft crush episode that we filmed earlier, that's on our channel, we talk more in depth about Cooper Beebe. So definitely go check that out. Especially, and I know we have a lot of K-State fans in our Chief Concerns subgroup. So, yeah. All right, so we're gonna go to our last pick here, where we'll actually go in depth with it. Then we're just gonna show you guys quickly our fifth round, our last fifth round pick. But this is our first fifth round pick here because we have two fifths this year. We don't have a sixth, so we have two fifths. So JD, with your final pick of this mock draft,
final pick in this mock draft, kind of looking for safety, right? We were talking the same thing: is Justin Reed gonna be here? What it's gonna look like for him? Do you get somebody who's going to, you know, maybe take over if we don't extend him? How is it going to go? This guy right here, he's a tackling machine. He knows how to come up, play in the box. Sometimes they say in space, he may get a little lost, but I think that is something you could teach, especially in this defense. He's coming to the right place to learn what he needs to learn, especially where you fit into the scheme of things. And when you have Spags to do a great job with a young guy like this. But this is Malik Mustafa from Wake Forest, the safety. Big dude, man. I watched some of his highlights. The way he's able to weave in and out of traffic to make hits, he just has a nose for the football. When they talk about he's built like a daggone bodybuilder, they said, man, when you take a shirt off, it's scary. Like you're like, oh my gosh, like you realize who this dude is, and so he loves to hit, stay in the box, making plays. That's what we do. That's what Justin Reed is doing. So a young guy like this can come in and learn a lot from Justin Reed. Special teams, no doubt about it. He'd be a great addition playing safety for us with our defense. So check him out a little bit. You'll be impressed.
Tej, so JD's all you got. It's honestly, I love how you guys are very similar in your drafts, just in different orders.
Different here. Rounds.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that. It's a nice cohesion there. Tej, thoughts on Malik Mustafa? Have you heard of Malik Mustafa? What are your thoughts?
I have not done a ton of research on him. I haven't usually gone late safety. It's funny. I usually go safety with Bullock lately. And then Kinchins from Miami. He's another guy who was slated to be like a early mid second, but now in my mocks, he shows up in my third round pick sometimes, my late second for us. So he's another guy I wouldn't mind taking too if I'm having Justin Reed fears of him being gone. So that's kind of I did a combination of need, insurance policy, and BPA. That's kind of how I juggled it all. We just have a lot of guys, especially with our roster makeup, we're going to have tough decisions with. So, you know, every pick might be a potential replacement for a guy who's there right now who might not be here tomorrow. So I don't mind it at all. We got to look for the next guy who can come in and with coaching become possibly our starting safety, right? So with the way we develop guys, I have not to say I used to sleep through rounds 5 to 7, but with the way we develop players and the way we've been using young guys, this guy could be starting the Super Bowl. It's not crazy to say that anymore. You know, we have seventh rounders starting in the Super Bowl. We have undrafted guys starting in the Super Bowl. So it's like, you know, you just expect the unexpected now. So this guy might be our safety of the future in 2 years. I have not done a ton of research on him, though, but I will look into him now.
I don't know much about the guy, but seeing some of his highlights, watching a little bit of it, and dude lays the wood, man. And very, I mean, that's based on what we did last year in bringing Chamari Conran, who brought the wood also. That was something that he did. Yes. Seems like we're bringing a lot of guys who, you know, can bring it, and especially in Spags' defense. We call us for a safety to clean house.
Well, it's hard because he's a Wake Forest guy. How many people is watching Wake Forest play football?
I did a little bit this year because I was betting on some of the games. But
did you? Okay. All right. Yeah.
I was betting on some of the games. I was watching Wake Forest football. Not a fun watch, I'll tell you that much.
Who's known from Wake Forest? You can name him already.
Football, basketball. I give you Tim Duncan.
There you go. That's it. That's about the only one I know. Wake Forest, Tim Duncan, right? So, Mr. Fundamental.
Yeah, that's it. I'm really trying to rack my brain for a quarterback.
That's about it. Yeah. Timmy Duncan. That's it.
That's all you need to know from Wake
Forest. That's all you need to know from Wake Forest. That's right. Put him on the mat, baby.
All right. Tej, you're Mr. Irrelevant here, man.
It's another guy that will seem very familiar to a lot of the fans here. I went back to the O-line again. So this is one of the few mock drafts I did not go tackle early. So with the first fifth round pick, I went Javon Foster out of Missouri. What I read about him is if you're not going to get the top tackles in the draft and you're not going to try to hit a home run with one of the top developmental projects at left tackle, this is one of the guys to get. There's like two or three that I, from what I've seen from different commentators and scouts, that this is one of the guys to look into. Him, I think, or Rosengarten is one of the other guys. I forgot the third guy they named. But later round guy to grab, chance to develop into a long-term starter. Again, we have great O-line coaching. So as long as he's got the best in him somewhere, I think we'll get the best out of him at some point. Long arms, controls his blocks, good athletic ability and strong. A lot of his issues sound coachable. Choppy footwork, lunges a bit into contact, and kind of has like a boom or bust element when they're blocking. Sell out for the push block too hard maybe. But starter capabilities for sure. Just has some bad habits that need to be coached out of him, which I think we can easily do.
Very interesting. I watched all his reps at the Senior Bowl. And he was one I was going to pull up too. Matter of fact, Tej, I actually like him. I like him a lot. He definitely needs some more coaching. Definitely needs to get a little bit better technique wise. I think it's all taken with him. What I did see is he opens up a little bit more of the door for the defensive end to get around him, which I don't like. He's got to lock that hip. You play left tackle, your hip's already open. You can't open up anymore before you know he's in. You know, Pat's face, if he played for the Chiefs, of course. But if he learns how to just be able to stay engaged with a guy, like you said, and sometimes he gets over his feet a little bit, and, you know, those things can be coached up. But he's a great guy to come in to learn a lot, maybe a reserve guy. He can almost do what we thought Prince was going to do.
Yeah.
Iwago was going to be. And so he is a project, but I think he's one of those guys like will wow you at practice. Like, okay, he's getting better. You can work with a guy like this.
Yep.
So I do like him. No, I do. I do like him. I watched him, you know, getting a later round guy. It's a win-win situation. If you get something out of this guy to be a starter, you're like, shoot, you're a hell of a scout getting this guy, seeing him up, you know? So, yeah, I like him.
And also, too, the chances of getting a developmental guy would make sense to come out of the Kansas State, the Missouri, the Kansas schools.
Yes.
That would make the most sense.
Local or small school, one or the other usually, right? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That stance there was kind of a rough stance there. Do you think, JD? Or that's not his like stance in the like pass protection, right? Or,
oh, yeah. That's what it looks like. Yeah, that's it.
Hmm.
So, his butt up is pretty high, so if it was down a little bit lower, it seemed like he'd be in a run stance, but it looks pretty high, so he looks like he's going to kick out on it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe something like that is when you're talking about his technique, like raising up. You don't want to raise up from right there.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he'll raise up, and that's just things like that, coaching, little things like that.
Small things, yeah.
Yeah. Coach, hey, man, what are you doing? Why are you resting your arm on your leg that way? What's going on? Does your back hurt? I love it. So, yeah.
But he rated pretty high. I'm looking at his 23 comparables, 86 run blocking grade, really high. Pass blocking grade, 80.9, pretty high. Zone grade, 91, really high. Gap grade, a little on the lower side, still higher than average. Mm-hmm. True pass set blocking grade on the higher end. So three out of the five were in the green, green and blue. Four out of the five were in the blue. So yeah, I mean, if I'm going to watch games, I'll probably watch maybe against, they played pretty decent competition last year. So you can watch them against some studs, even in the draft.
Yeah.
Played Ohio State, played Florida, played Georgia. So like LSU, so they played some teams that could rush the passer for sure. So yeah, you can see how he did. I think he only gave up one sack last year.
Okay.
Zero hits, 12 hurries. And the past 3 years, never an overall grade under 80. So, you know, since he's come in and played, he's played well.
Well, shoot, he's going against a real guy every day in practice. Helped him out. So,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That helps him.
Yeah.
But they say anywhere from, yeah, from what I've seen, 4 to 5th round. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, if there's 10 tackles coming off the board in the first round, like they say there's going to be, then, I mean, I don't know. You might go earlier than that, I guess.
Man, I tell you, I will be – if they get 10 tackles off the board in the first round, I will be absolutely shocked.
Sorry. Let me correct that. 9.5 O-linemen.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But what do we got? Maybe one guard, maybe one center?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So 8, you're looking at 7.5 tackles probably.
Okay.
Still a lot. Maybe 8.
Yeah. I told you, man.
If there were 8, we're going to be the 8th team. I'll say that.
Yeah. That's why I'm looking at the talent. I'm like,
I know. That's why it's like, if you're going to go developmental, like, look, again, I trust our coaching. I trust our staff. If they're like Guyton or Kingsley, we can make him our starting left tackle. Okay, sure. I'm totally down. If you don't want to go developmental with a 32nd pick, then, I mean, go it with the 5th round pick. That's a lot easier to swallow as a fan to be like, okay, so this guy's not going to play this year, but it's a 5th round pick. I don't feel too bad about it.
So let me ask this real quick. Everybody in the chat, you checking us out, listening to us, a simple yes or no will suffice. How many of you all trust Wanye Morris at left tackle for us? Okay. Yes or no. Simple yes or no suffice. I just want to hear opinions. That's all I want to hear. So if y'all heard my question, you know, just reel in.
Well, it sounded like today during Andy's presser that he said that they will be drafting, bringing in competition for Wanye. And he said, Wanye did a pretty good job filling in last year. So it seems like at least right now, since we haven't brought in Donovan Smith yet, and there's always a possibility of signing him after the draft if the tackles doesn't go our way, if we don't get a guy. But it seems like they are going with the Wanye train, at least for now.
Hey, man, competition is great. That's where you find out who guys are. Lego my Ego says no. Wendy says meh, no. Beth Welch says no.
Think of it this way, though. Like, right, Donovan Smith, I don't know if he hit all his incentives. I know his last contract was, like, up to $8 or $9 million. So I don't know if he actually got all that money or not. But let's say he made it like 6, right? 6 is not a lot for your starting left tackle. So if Andy's saying, I'd rather not even sign Don and keep Wanye here, I mean, that says a lot because that's not a huge investment, right? So if they're going to bypass $5 or $6 million for what, but if you put Donovan Smith, who should start Donovan Smith or Wanye in that chat, I guarantee you 90% would say start Donovan Smith over him, right? But if we're not even willing to bring him back for chump change for the left tackle position, then that says a lot. It says a lot about Don. It says a lot about what they think about Wanye too.
Well, we don't know what if he's being offered anything. We don't know what Don wants. Don might want 9 or 10 because he knows that he's getting it cheap. He's like, look, I gave you a team-friendly deal last year. Okay, I did a great job. He did. He did a solid job last year. You know, I like what he did. So, my thing is, Wanye, you know, said, you know, he's young, but yeah, he's young, but he got some experience last year. He's another year mature in what he's doing. He's working this offseason with the coaching staff to get better. And he's bringing in competition saying, like, look, it's your job to lose. Right, Wanye? This is your job to lose. If you want this, your job to lose. We're going to find out when you come here during OTAs and all those different things, what it's going to be. And so I'm sure Donovan is on the edge. Donovan, don't even worry about OTAs and stuff like that. We know what you can do. Come here during the summer. We'll throw you $7 million to $8 million, whatever it is that you're asking for, right? So.
Now, what would you think the coach's opinion, without them coming out and saying it to you, what would you think about Wanya if he drafted a first-round tackle? Because it's one thing to get a one-year deal guy. That's a stopgap. Yeah. Okay, we need him for this year, and then beyond that, we have our guy. But if you're drafting a dude on a five-year deal, on the cheap 5 years at left tackle, then that's not necessarily just saying it's a stopgap anymore, right?
It isn't. If you're not trying to invest that type of money in a guy, right, and you say the one-year deal, are you trusting Wanya? Can he do it? He has the ability to do it, man. He's a third-round pick.
Yeah.
He has athletic ability. So do you just trust it? You say, just go on and let Wanya just have it. Get him out of the way. If you get a first-round pick for him, I'm telling people, like, that's why I don't really trust a lot of these tackles in this draft. I don't. I just – unless you're John Ald or you know, the guy from, you know – I think what is Washington? Can't think of his name. If you're not one of the top three or four guys, I'm a little sketchy. I'm a little, you know, I'm beyond the, like the guy I got. I like him, right? Jordan Morgan, his arms. He still has to learn, you know, how you do to make the transition to the NFL. You got to be a real dude, man, at left tackle. You can't play around with that. That's a position you cannot play around. And I said you got back here. Okay, that's the ticket. That's the NFL guy right here, okay, that everybody's looking at, right? So I can't just get anybody to cover, you know, for Patrick Mahomes. So I seen they was talking about my man Bakhtiari from that used to be with Green Bay. He has a lot of injuries. We don't know physically what he could be. I remember what the dude that was with Tennessee Titans, because I thought we might entertain him, was what's his name? Waylon. Yeah. What was his name?
The dude's with Eric Compton for that show.
I thought, you know, last year he might be the guy that we would. Who? What's his name?
I totally forgot his name.
I think, isn't it Waylon something?
No, it's it's on the tip of my tongue.
But you know what I'm talking about. We all know who we're talking about. I thought he might be a guy, but like, look, give him a shot. We know he's been a starting left tackle in the league for a long time. He's done a good job of it.
Taylor Lewan.
Okay. Taylor Lewan. Okay, that's it. Yeah. So I guess he was good where he was at. Like, hey, man, shoot, I'm good. You know,
he's gonna be for cheap. Another one who had the injury bug. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny that the PFF guys talked about Bakhtiari because they were saying how, like, coming out, they had their doubts about him making the transition and how, like, they cleaned his junk up and they got him up to speed. And what he did well, he did even better. And what he did poorly, he cleaned up. So that's the ticket right there. That's what you all want, right?
Right, right.
Selfishly, I wouldn't mind Bakhtiari on a one-year deal. I would get a Bakhtiari jersey because he's a Persian football player, and we don't have many. JD, we don't have many Persian football players. So if we were to get a Persian guy in the Chiefs, I would definitely rock a David Bakhtiari jersey for even for a year. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
There's not many Persian pro athletes in general. You got Yu Darvish, who's half Japanese, half Persian, and then David Bakhtiari, who's Persian.
Yeah. from what area? Where is he from? Where his family's from?
It was nope. From Iran. I don't know. Okay. I think they might be originating from Tehran, which most of the Persians have come over from Tehran.
Okay.
So it would just be cool to have a Bakhtiari Chiefs jersey.
You gonna rock the long hair? You gonna grow your hair out, Marcus? Get the long.
it doesn't look right. I can't do that to our Chief Concerns fans. I can't do that. The hair growing out like that. You guys in our intro, we still have some of my COVID haircuts in our intro for the show. So you got some of the wild curly hair.
Yeah, Wendy said Joe Alt Notre Dame. Love to have him. That's a no brainer. Would take him. We can't afford. I don't.
That ain't happening.
Would you do that though? Would you say, look, go ahead, throw in the ship. We're going to give you whatever we need for a guy that we want to keep here protecting Patrick Mahomes. You don't have to worry about that at all. for the time that Patrick's here, you make sure he's protected. John Ott will be the guy. Okay.
Man, that is, that would take probably more than what it took to get up to get Patrick Mahomes in the draft.
Well, I actually have a question for you guys, hypothetically. So on our, I keep mentioning it, but on our Draft Crush show, JD said he would love for us to trade up for Brock Bowers.
Yes, sir.
JD, between Joe Alt and Brock Bowers, who would you rather for trade up for?
It would Joe Alt. It would take more to get Alt, though.
It would. Is he worth it, though?
A lot more. Like, we're talking, you, if you could trade to get Joe Alt, you could trade to get Marvin Harrison at that point. That's how high you have to get Alt.
Would you take Marvin Harrison over Joe Alt?
To go all the way up there and get that? Oof.
That's a tough one.
You know what? I'm going to say no, because that drop from one, the first left tackle to the 10th left tackle is a cliff. And that drop from the number one receiver to the 10th receiver is like a little bit of like a sand dune. Okay.
Yes. So yes.
It's a big difference.
Right. Right. Sure. I'm like Kathy. I pass out too. We got John Alt.
Yeah, I wish, man. Yeah. They're saying he's still growing because he's so young. He might be 6'10 by next year.
Boy.
I mean, my goodness.
His daddy's jeans, man. Those John Alt jeans.
A lot of Tennessee fans want them to draft him at, I think, 7.
Mm.
Take it and run.
Yeah.
Tennessee will give you your pick back for next year.
Yeah. You have your pick back. Hey, yeah, with Snead, what else you need? We had a good relationship.
No? Yeah, we'll give you our first next year. We'll sit Pat for like 5 games, so the pick won't be that by now. We'll win the Super Bowl anyway. So I guess it will be 32 again, huh? So yeah, that
sucks. Yeah. So
you have to trade a lot to get that. So, but that's a crazy thing. Like, and look at the top 6 tackles, right? The before the drops of the developmental guys. I'll even throw Mims on there at 6, right? Half those guys might end up being right tackles. They're not even going to be left tackles.
That's the point, right?
And they're going like top. Some of those guys are going like top 15, probably.
Yeah, right.
Lathan, Fauna, Alt, and then what's his name from Penn State?
Yes,
that's the other one. I forget. I keep forgetting his freaking name.
You got the dude from
all tough to pronounce too, by the way, which is great. Alt, Fuaga. Fatanu, Fashanu, that's the guy from Penn State, and then Latham from Alabama, 6'6", 340. I mean, these guys, half these guys, Mims, 6'7", 340, half these guys might end up being right tackles by the end of the day, right? So it's like, it's, you know, it's tough, man. It's tough. And will they regret it? I mean, like, They had Ramon Foster on their show for PFF, and they're asking him, like, with the way the landscape's changing in the NFL, you know, is that right tackle so different than left tackle now? And he's just like, he was kind of like, it's not the way it used to be anymore, where it's like, oh no, this guy's got to be your left tackle. Oh, that's a prize gem. It's like, it's from both sides. You get pass rushers from both sides now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter. I mean, like a blind side, I mean, a hit's a hit, right? Whether it's blind side or not, you need to protect your quarterback. We spent a lot of money on right tackle. So that goes to show you how much it's valued either way, right? So,
It's coming up here. It is definitely catching up for sure. Obviously, it was a blind side because you have more right-handed dominant quarterbacks than left. But it is just as important, no doubt about it. I think the guy that from Yale that got hurt, if he falls to the 3rd round, he had that injury, I would not be opposed to take him in the 3rd. I don't know if he'll get there or not.
Oh, what's his name? I'm Amagaji. Amagaji.
Yeah.
His tackles are tough.
Yeah. If people are so like, want to stay away from it because of the injury, and he's still kind of getting healthy, I would pick him up as the Chiefs. I'd pick him up because he'll just be getting to where he needs to be, and he's growing. He's getting better. That's the thing about it. They talk about, man, his talent and skill set.
Yeah.
I'd take a chance on a guy like that, really. And having a Wanye Morris here, that'd be great competition. Great competition. So.
Well, I think if we draft, we don't draft one in the first round. I think from like the third round on, I'd say we're signing a veteran again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you.
They said weeks ago after the Snead trade that it was Dana and Dom Smith were going to be guys to look at that were bringing back. So there is maybe smoke that fire there.
So if that happens, I don't expect us to draft a first rounder, have a third rounder in Wanye, and sign a Donovan Smith again. That just sounds like, your first round pick's going to be a third stringer. Really? That just sounds pretty crazy to me. And granted, like one of those guys can back up the right tackle side too. So, you know, they won't go to waste, but that's a lot of draft capital for your backup tackles.
Yep. And we'll see. We shall see. Well, guys, it's been a long day for the Chief Concerns crew from the two shows that we've done today. We appreciate everybody coming in earlier. We premiered it on the Bleacher Report and on our channel earlier. And then, of course, everyone who's been in the chat tonight, our usual friends, Wendy, Lego Maego, About Time, Donna. A lot of Del Monte, everyone in here. So we appreciate you guys coming in for our Mock Draft Monday 2.0 today.
I'm DeBrown, Word, Neff, Chad Ghost Hunter 1974, Kathy Don Aldous Lewis. Good seeing you all, like always. Let's have some little spiffy for him on Wednesday. I think we're gonna have something good, right?
Always
something,
do.
Yeah. I think we might have something be good at on Wednesday to come check us out.
Okay? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then next week we're going to do a mock with the trade mock, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go back to four our mock Monday. We four rounds. You can trade. We'll do trades with a 4-round mock draft. We'll do that next Monday. Our final mock of the season next Monday. And then we have a full week of Bleacher Report streams, post draft reaction shows, and a lot of stuff next week. I think I was counting from Monday to Sunday next week with Bleacher Report streams. We have 7 streams altogether. So be fun. It's gonna be a fun week next week for a draft week. Of course, the season is here, baby. The season, you can smell it.
Big time. It's big time. Smell it.
All right, guys. We hope everybody has a good night and love you, fellas, and love you guys.
Love you guys.
Love you all.
Love you. Love y'all out there, Chief Concerns family. We'll see y'all later.
Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. All right, guys. Take it easy, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.